Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Keeping It Real's probably the coolest and geekiest talk show on internet radio. Why do I say probably? Because I like to be nice that way. But you know what? Before we get on to the show proper, I do want to give some memorial shout-outs to a couple of people that passed away in the geek world. First of all, I do want to give a shout-out to Arlie Emery. Yep, Gunny. From Full Metal Jacket and various other things. He passed away last week. I think he passed away right after the show. I just know that the timing was wow. Like, that's all I can say.
Hello.
Yeah, I think. Hey, Iggy. I'm just giving some in memoriams right now. So, Well,
who are we in memoriam to right now?
Well, right now, I just gave an in memoriam. I said, you know, rest in peace, Arlie Emery. Gunny. Yeah,
I know,
but the other one, well, the other one is not quite geek related, but you know what? I think it's only fair. I think it's only right to give her a shout out, and that's First Lady Barbara Bush, former First Lady.
Yeah, bless her soul.
She just bless her soul. I never got a chance to meet her in real life, but it seemed like she was a nice lady, and you know, my heart goes out to the Bushes on their loss. You know, it seems like everybody has said that, yeah, she was wonderful. So, you know, and I think the third one that I actually want to do, this one actually I just found out about, like earlier today, and that's Vern Troyer, Mini-Me from Austin Powers.
Oh, no!
Yep. Passed away at age 49. I haven't heard a lot of details, but it seems he was battling depression, so I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, it may have been something bad.
There is one more, and this one is going into the music culture, the EDM culture, that, you know, if you go to any Comic-Con or Anime-Con, there's always, like, a nice little EDM party that happens at night, and so if you're into that sort of stuff, Avicii. Passed away a couple of days ago. And it's truly unfortunate. You know, the family is requesting privacy during this time, but a few things that we have known about Avicii is that, you know, he was dealing with pancreatitis and, you know, he had to have his appendix removed and he had to have a couple surgeries done. And mostly it's from excessive drinking, but he passed away at the age of 28, which is how old I am. You know, so to give you a gist of how young he was. So definitely it's been a hard week, because I know that I took Gunny's death a little hard, just because I kind of grew up with that. My dad being, you know, I grew up like a military brat. So, you know, that's one that we've known, Full Metal Jacket, you know. And, you know, obviously we shared those jokes around. I was like, oh, how tall are you? And especially for me. You know, but, you know, you have somebody who's, like, super tall, and it's like, how tall are you? And it's like, I'm 6'2". And it's like, holy shit, I didn't know they stack shit up that high.
Yeah.
You know, those are all for Gunny, you know? That's, like, it's great. He did. He had his own show called Mail Call and on the History Channel and stuff. So he's just a character. He's just a character. And if you read about Gunny and his achievements and all that he managed to do in his life, it's really freaking impressive.
No, and he was an actual, like, he was actual military, so a lot of what he brought is, like, experience, so, I mean, you can't...
a legitimate Gunny, and so they used him for Full Metal Jacket to, like, okay, we need somebody that knows how to do this, we need somebody that can bring the realism to it, so they got Gunny, and Gunny's like, well, I've only been doing this for I don't know how many fucking years, so, if you talk, like, to the actors...
yeah.
Who were there? They're like, they were legit terrified of him. Like,
oh,
my God.
Oh, no, I believe it. I do believe it. But you know what? you know, I think now it's time to kind of move on to the meat of the show. In this case, like the you know this episode, I named this episode the Meat Cute, because well, we're you know, and this is by the way, this was your idea here, Iggy. So you know, you have no one to blame but yourself. The episode we're going to be talking about romantic comedies, rom coms. If I remember correctly, Iggy, you said you kind of wanted to you know. Talk about something new, you know, bring something new to the table. So there you go. So yeah, yes. now we're here. We're talking about it.
You're thinking about it. We're talking about it.
Yep. And you know what? Very appropriately enough, you know, you're here, I'm here, and my beloved Patricia's here. So you
yep.
know what better you know what better way than to at least have one
did you call her
couple.
Your beloved Patricia? Because I'm keeping that. I'm about to
no,
keep that.
I said Patricia. You didn't hear the part.
Patrish, I'm so glad you're here.
Yeah, are you drunk?
No, it's Patricia, my bitch.
Okay, are you drunk? Are you drunk right now? Are you a little tipsy?
No, I am not. The world is not tipped over. It's pretty much upright, and I don't have a beverage in my hand, but I do see one, and I'm about to grab it. Oh, my God, look at that.
Okie dokie. Trish, I think our friend and co-host here is pickled.
Just slightly, maybe.
Yeah, pickled. Yeah. And for those of you who can't tell, I am understating. Like, yeah, just some serious understating is going on here.
I like that. I'm gonna have to keep that. Are you pickled
but,
right now?
Are you pickled? Yeah, yeah. I use that at Galley. I use that at Galley, especially when talking to talking about Martin Jarvis and talking to who's the guy that we had on the last episode of Marku?
John Davey.
Thank you.
I knew it.
I didn't. For some reason, I almost had the word Bailey come in, and I'm like, nope, that's not it. That's not. Don't do that
to
the poor man.
But I do
want
you to understand one thing: that when you're saying "galley," okay, you were literally just saying "pickled," and then you go, "Oh, I say that a lot at galley." Okay, so from a military perspective, galley is considered a lunchroom, like the cafeteria. Okay, so hey, are you gonna walk with me to the galley? You're gonna go to the galley for lunch? Okay, all right, let's go to the galley. Okay, so when you're saying galley and talking about pickles, like, oh, that's so confusing. Oh my God.
Different galley. This is galley one. This is galley one. Okay.
Gallifrey. It's sure Gallifrey.
I'm sorry. Hey, those of us in the know, we call it galley one or galley. See, we need to get
those of us in the military. Galley one is the one on the west side of the base. Galley two is the one on the center, and galley three. Well, I don't know. It has to be a really big base to be three galleys.
But if there's more than one galley, usually one's on one side and one is in the center.
Yeah, dead ass in the center of the base, and nobody goes through that one. And then you got the west
Ouch.
One because that one has, well, because it's too crowded. So like the ones that are live like immediately, like they work immediately around that center galley. All of them go there because it's convenient to be there. But if you want to take the extra drive to go 15 minutes to the other side of base and go to that galley, you'd be all right.
Okay, you know what? Hey, you know, Trish, we learned something today. All right, we learned a little something extra. Okay, if we want like a more relaxed, a little bit more intimate experience, go to the galley on the west side. Okay, good. I've written that down. I know now, and I'm better for it. Thank you. I salute you. But yeah, getting on to why we're all here.
It would be really romantic if you guys were going to like galley one on base and then I just so happened to show up. Okay. And then, oh my God, what are you doing here? I haven't seen you forever. I missed you so much. And then I fall and eat shit on my way to embrace you guys. And that, my friends, is a romantic comedy. What's up?
Okay. Wow. All right. Hey, you know what? Okay. There you go. Well, I don't know about romantic comedy, but you certainly did create a comedy bit there, Iggy.
You don't know my relationship with Trish Matrish. Trish, my bitch.
Okay, okay,
Trish, my
okay.
Trish.
All right. Well, I do know that you met her after I met her, so.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think the first thing we need to do is establish some cred. Let's see, Trish, a romantic comedy fan or no?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Maybe not as much as I used to be, but. But yeah.
Is there some cynicism?
Romantic comedies are for single women who are actually really depressed about being single. And so they go home and watch this shit daydreaming, like, I wish, like, whatever. So once you have a partner already, you don't really like them as much. Like, die.
It's true, actually. That's what she's saying is true. It's like, after you find someone, then it doesn't mean as much to you. And then you realize just how fake they all are.
Yes. Like, they gave me such high expectations. Why would you do that? Oh, no.
Uh-huh. But, I mean, they're still enjoyable. There's still some ones that I like. But, you know, I mean, I don't feel the need to go out and see every single one that comes out.
Uh-uh.
Yep. Well, what about you, Iggy? Rom-com fan or no?
So I'm very particular with rom-coms, okay? So I like for there to be some rejection, actually. I like to see the ones that, you know, it doesn't work out right away. And not working out as in like, oh, you know, like you got the slapstick humor. Like, that's why I don't like movies like the one with Katherine Heigl and Seth Rogen. What's that one called?
Oh, Knocked Up?
Yeah, fuck that one. It can eat my farts. Okay, yeah. I don't like that movie at all.
I hate that one, too. I hate that one.
I cannot stand that movie because that's the kind of rom-com that I hate. But I like rom-coms like Just Go With It with Adam Sandler, okay, and Rachel from Friends, since nobody actually seems to really pay attention to her actual name.
Jennifer Aniston.
You know? Okay. For those of you who didn't know, there you go. Her name is Jennifer Aniston. I don't like her. I love her. I don't like her because she's got the body of a fucking saint. She was chiseled by the gods themselves. Fuck her. But she is a beautiful, wonderful person.
Oh, Iggy, don't worry about her body and stuff like that. I read an article where she talked about what she eats every day. You would not want to be her. She's on a constant diet.
No, she talked
about,
what is it, like fucking avocados and like egg whites and like nothing but flavor or substance or whatever the fuck. Yeah, that's disgusting.
She's a freaking salad for lunch every day. That's it.
Oh my God.
That's terrible. No.
Yeah.
Ew.
Anyway. Yeah, I think.
But yeah, Just Go With It. It's more up my alley because, you know, I think Adam Sandler is a dentist, and then you have Jennifer Aniston who's playing the secretary / dental hygienist, like assistant type of thing, and they've been close friends for a really long time, and he's been a player for a really long time and trying to do, you know, relationships here and there, and they're just not panning out. And then he's got a friend who just doesn't, you know, he's trying to play wingman for, but she's been there the whole time, and all of a sudden, you know, like she's been wanting him for a minute, hasn't been very vocal about it. She's also, I think Adam Sandler has, I don't think any other, you know, I know there's a kid involved somewhere, okay, because he's trying to get with a fucking chick. And anyways, the whole point is Adam Sandler finally goes, oh, you've been right here in my face this whole time and I want you. And she's like, no, I'm not sure I do because you're doing it for the wrong reasons. And I've already seen enough ugly sides about you that I don't want it. So it makes him have to work to improve himself and show himself that he is worthy of it while being, you know, hilariously failing at it, you know. But those are the ones that I like because of already being in a relationship, you know, and the things that I find to be attractive in a man as a woman. But the slapstick bullshit, like, oh my God, what are we going to do? Oh my God, we fell into each other. We're fucking, we're having sex. Oh my God, look at this. What happened? How do we do this? We're so stupid and we're so in love. Kiss my ass. I don't like those.
Uh-huh.
The one that drives
me
nuts is the formulaic romantic comedy where, you know, boy and girl meet. They are really hot and heavy for a while. It looks like they're going to get, you know, they're really falling in love. They're going to get married. And then something happens where one of them misunderstands a situation that the other one did and gets mad at them, but doesn't tell the other person why they're mad at them, just leaves. And then the other one finally figures out what the person thought and then goes back and clears it up, and then everything's happy and they live happily ever after.
Oh,
I
God.
Get tired of that.
Thank you. Oh, God,
shit.
Thank you.
I hate those.
Thank you. Okay, whether it's romantic comedy or regular comedy or even, like just whenever that trope shows up, whenever, I'm just like, you know what? What the hell? Like, that is,
yeah.
that just has to be the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
I used to watch the movies, like, on Lifetime or Hallmark or something, like, and it's always the same. It's the same movie, just different situations.
Oh,
the same
man.
Thing. It happens just like what I said. That they're all gonna be happy, and then some misunderstanding occurs, and
right.
one or the other one leaves, and then
yep.
they have to. Oh no, that's not what really happened. This is what really happened. I really love you. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, no, yeah. That you know, it's
every
it's,
time it
no,
happens. Every
oh
time,
my God!
Every
I
time
just
it, I watch that.
Herpes. I wasn't uh-huh. talking about herpes. I was talking about hernias. You know,
yeah.
I was doing.
Yeah,
I had a paper
every time
due.
Every time I watch it and I see it's going well, I'm like, okay, when's the big fuck up gonna happen? You know, when
uh-huh.
is it gonna happen now? And then it happens. I'm like, oh yeah, here it comes. This is where the big misunderstanding occurs, and
yep,
where
yep,
they're
yep.
like, oh my God, we gotta break up because we're obviously not perfect for each other.
Uh-huh. Or,
but never mind.
Or,
you know, we're not communicating and actually telling each other what's going on.
Yeah.
We're just gonna
yeah.
assume
well,
the other person knows that they fucked up.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, exactly. Exactly. I think.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's. Yeah. And by the way, does anybody ever notice that Hallmark? It seems to be like, okay, let's find old sitcom actresses and
oh,
like put them
God.
In all this schmaltzy stuff. I just have to wonder.
No.
Is there like. Okay, is there like a special is there a special office in the Hallmark Channel office in the Hallmark Channel, like wherever they're based out of? Is there like a special office that just thinks about, okay, we need to give Candace Cameron Bure another TV movie. Okay, quick, somebody think of something. Okay, Candace Cameron Bure hasn't worked in like.
Thought of it the way that I've always thought of it. I don't know if you guys have ever played Dungeons and Dragons, but. It is very.
I am familiar with it.
Okay, so it's very common that when you're playing Dungeons and Dragons, there's always a quest giver. Okay, so
okay.
whenever you are done doing something and you don't know what else to fucking do, you go to the quest giver. Like you go to the quest place and you walk in and you're like, "Hey, man, you got anything for me? Like, is there anything that you need me to do?" And they're like, "Actually, yeah." And that's honestly, I've always thought. Like what actors and actresses do since I was little. I'm like, okay, so maybe they just go to the quest giver and it's like, okay, listen, I haven't done no shows or movies in a really long time. Do you have anything for me? It's like, actually Hallmark is looking for a couple things. So it's Lifetime.
Yeah.
So if you want to do some of these, there you go.
Yeah.
Some of these
but
do
notice,
in the meantime.
Of course. Well, first of all, as someone who's actually done like the acting thing, Iggy, I can tell you that you're not that far off.
Oh, that is terrible.
Okay, you're not that far off. That's the thing. You have to, you know, that's the thing with having, that's why you have an agent, because you got to like constantly bug him and say, hey, is there anything going on this week? What's going on? If you hear about something, you go, hey, I heard about this. Is there a chance you can get me in on this? You know, it's, so yeah, you're not that far off. But the other thing is, I also feel like Hallmark Channel, it's all, you know, it feels like they deal almost exclusively with, like, actresses and even a few actors that used to be on something but aren't right now.
They're all mostly from the cast of The West Wing.
Right, it depends.
I hate to say it, but it's...
No, it depends. No, it depends because, for example, you're not going to get Allison Janney on, like, Hallmark or Lifetime. You're not going to get her. But if it's somebody who played, like, a supporting character in season 5 of West Wing, you know, one of those, like, oh, it's that lady, you know, then they'll show up, you know.
Really?
Like,
really?
Okay.
Because Rob Lowe was in the entire fucking thing of the West Wing, and he made several Hallmark movies. You have
okay,
Rick
but,
from The Walking Dead that was also in a Hallmark movie. Okay.
Okay.
So it's almost like that's a fucking rite of passage.
Well, like I said, it depends. It depends. Because, I mean, Rob Lowe, since he's like former teen idol, he's like in that weird thing where he's well known, but he's not at that level where doing something like a Hallmark or Lifetime movie that people go, whoa, shit, what happened, man? Rob Lowe doing Lifetime? The fuck? You know, he's kind of on a weird level like that.
What it is they're casting people that that they know they don't have to pay a shit ton of money to because they haven't been working in a long time. But they also know that people will see a commercial for their movie and be like, oh, that's that person from that thing I used to watch when I was a kid. I'm going to check that out. I'm going to see what they look like and how they act now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it is. It's they're hoping that you're going to recognize them from your childhood and be like, I'm going to watch it because of that.
Yeah,
because
it's
that person.
The theory.
Well, this is why, you know, this is
you
why you end
me,
up having.
I don't need you.
Yeah. Well, this is why you end up having TV movies on like Lifetime and Hallmark that have Dana McKellar from Wonder Years. You know, it's like, hey kids, look, remember Winnie Cooper? Look, it's grown up Winnie Cooper, and she's still hot. She's cute. She's still cute. Watch this movie.
In your opinion.
And, you know. Mm-hmm. Hey, my heart. You know, there's a part of my geeky TV watching heart which will always have a space for Winnie Cooper. Okay, she's adorable. Okay,
so that's
she's
you're
one
old,
of those.
Honey, okay, but I mean, I get that. But
wow, are you listening to this, Trish? What? Oh yeah. But don't forget, I have the mute button.
Did you hear her like counter argue that bullshit? She didn't. So anyway, I'm going to, sidestep over, okay, because this is one that I've been dealing with literally all week because I have, I don't know about you guys, but, I mean, I have, my friends that are very invested into Let's Be Reals, and they're like, okay, so what are you guys talking about, you know, this week? Like, what are you guys going to talk about this Saturday? And I'm, you know,
okay.
And I'm that asshole friend. I don't know why they're my friends. I'm so mean. I don't know why people are. I honestly don't know why Trish and Eddie, some of the two single most sweetest people in the world that I know, are friends with me. I am an asshole, okay? So my friends are over here like,
but you're
talking about the Saturday. What are you talking about the Saturday? What's going on? And I'm like, oh, I don't know. Why don't you go on Let's Be Real and fucking find out? Since I don't know, Eddie has posted two fucking teasers already. You know, you guys talk about rom-com. Are you guys going to talk about Juno? And I'm like, I fucking hate Juno. And everybody goes, what? You hate
I've
Juno?
Never,
what the?
I've never seen it.
I fucking hate Juno. I literally avoided watching it.
Okay?
Because I read about what it was about, and then I got forced to watch it.
Okay.
Still hated it. I knew I was gonna hate it, and I guess what? I fucking hated it.
Okay, what is it?
Now,
all right,
Juno,
is Juno
really a romantic comedy, or is it another type of movie masquerading as a romantic comedy?
It was masquerading. It was trying so hard to be a rom-com. But Juno was a combination of Degrassi, Daria, and Lizzie McGuire, okay? All put into one fucking scale, and, oh, let's try to be adult about it. Stop it. Stop, okay? Because now you're bored. You're stepping into Pineapple Express now, and I need you to knock it the fuck off.
Okay, see, Iggy does bring up a good point. Juno, really not really a romantic comedy. It's more just about trying to be a bit more lighthearted about teen pregnancy. But there's kind of
nothing lighthearted about it. And that's what pissed me off. There is nothing lighthearted about pregnancy, period. And then, and by the way, that was not a pun, but I would go ahead and say also period, okay?
Okay.
But there is nothing lighthearted about that, okay? It sucks. Yeah,
you
have to work to be lighthearted about it. And be like, okay, this is okay. And then teen pregnancy on top of that? Because if it's not already hard enough to be pregnant, you're also a teenager.
Now, Iggy, there's another movie that it masqueraded as a romantic comedy in the trailers. And then I saw it, and it was one of the most depressing piece of shit movies I've ever seen. And that's one with Drew Barrymore called Riding Cars with Boys.
I never saw that.
I heard about that one, and I fucking avoided it to begin with. That's another one that I avoided deliberately, so I have not watched it.
Yes. Don't watch it. It's horrible, and it's just, that's another thing about teen pregnancy and all the bullshit that goes with it. And basically, this mom resents her child his whole life because he wasn't a girl when he was born. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
That is realistic bullshit. Okay, so you have something like Juno, and I'm watching it. I'm like, this bitch is completely oblivious of fucking reality here. Because as a mom of four children, and mind you, when I watched Juno, I was a mom of two. I was halfway there. Little did I know that there was two more on the way. Oh my fucking god. Okay, but I was a mom of two. Okay, watching this, going, this bitch is stupid. What are you doing? Like, you need to be getting money. Okay, what are you doing? You need to be getting this. You need to be getting... But that's adolescence, though. You're going to be worried about all the wrong shit. And I mean, if it's not wrong, like, if it's not hard enough already, like, as a grown woman, you know, for me, when I got pregnant with my fourth, I had substantially more experience than when I had my first. But I can tell you that when I had my first child, when I was pregnant with my first child, the first thought that went through my head wasn't, how am I going to provide for this baby? What am I going to do? What do I need to do for this baby? The first thought that went through my fucking head is, what is my husband going to think? Is he going to be mad at me? Is he going to be prepared for that? It was literally all about him, which is fucking stupid. You know, when you look at it, when you step back, you look at it and you go, well, that's not really what I should be worried about. But inevitably, that's what happens, you know, and it's like the entire movie is like a daydream, okay? So it doesn't match for me to be able to see this bullshit, okay? Because when I heard about Juno, I didn't have a kid, okay? That's literally how long it took for me to watch Juno. I didn't have a kid. And already at that point, I had enough aptitude to know that this is bullshit.
Okay, then.
Yep. I like the lighthearted romantic comedies.
Yeah.
You know, I like it somewhat real, but also I like it somewhat fantasy as well. So
So Iggy talked about not liking Juno. I'm sorry, but, and I know I'm probably going to get some haterade out of this. I actually do not like the movie 50 First Dates.
I
hate it because it's like, okay, you know, when you look at it, you know, when you look at it at face value, it is depressing as fucking hell. I cannot laugh at the fact that you have this poor woman who can't remember, you know, the day before. And it's like, you know, so it's like, and it's like, you know, there was like that moment, that moment in the movie where you have, you know, it's Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore, you know, it's another one of the, you know, it's another one of the things that, you know, puts them together. It's like, what, the second or third time they got together. But anyway, it's like the scene with Adam Sandler's character talking to Drew Barrymore's father and him explaining what her condition is and showing pictures of her after the accident. And I'm like, dude, you are killing the buzz. I'm not laughing anymore. I came here to laugh and see these two hook up. You killed my laughter. Okay? I can't laugh at this shit anymore. I can't.
Right.
I can't. Thank you. You killed it. You fucking killed it.
There is one good positive point about that movie and then one huge negative point about that movie, in my opinion.
Okay.
Not trying to speak for anybody. So for me, the positive point was, dude, if that's not the epitome of love and devotion for you to make a video and stick by this woman and fucking just, you know, be true to her. Because at one point, she wants to break up. She wants to end the marriage. She wants to end this, okay, because of her condition. He didn't have to listen. That was the minute she went to fucking bed, she would never remember that. And he could have done whatever the fuck he wanted. But he respected her. You know, he did all the things. So in that point right there, there's the romantic aspect of, oh my fucking God, that is amazing. But then here's the part that really fucked with my head, the negative point, okay? How the fuck this bitch gonna be pregnant, okay? And you skip through that bullshit, like, how the fuck do you wake up with a big-ass belly and that, I can only imagine what the fuck that must have been like. And it's almost like the fucking production company was like, that's really fucked up. Give her a baby anyways and just skip through it.
It's like, how did she not lose the baby from the stress of waking up every morning and freaking the fuck out over being pregnant and not knowing how she got pregnant? You think that the stress of waking up every morning and watching that video every morning would not have allowed her to have a child because of the stress that would have put her mind and her body under.
Yeah.
The grief, the crying, everything.
I kind of feel like the reason that they did that, that they put the little child in there at the end, it's just kind of to show, like, hey, see, look, they're fine because they have a family.
Well, you're better off saying, like, hey, I'm a single dad of this kid, you're the stepmom, or we adopted. Like, something along those lines would have been preferred over going that she actually carried through this baby through its gestational period. Exactly. And fuck that. I don't like having to think too hard into movies. Don't do that to me. I want to take a movie, especially a rom-com. Like, it'd be different if we were talking about fucking Inception, which that one is an intellectual thriller, okay? That's different. I will talk about Inception and, like, nitpick that bullshit, go through the controversy stories, whatever, okay? But it's a fucking rom-com. Why are we thinking this deep into it? Like, it really doesn't require more than an IQ of 140. Like, so what the fuck are we doing?
Exactly. No. Well, I mean, you know, they've had romantic comedies around forever, you know. I mean, even going back to, you know, you could say some of the old Hollywood musicals, you know, would be really considered romantic comedies because there is light humor in it. But, you know, it's like, sometimes I watch those and I'm just like, oh, it was, you know, kind of sweet back then. Wouldn't have minded if, you know, I can suspend reality enough to think that, oh, maybe that's really how it was back then.
But, one of the things that I've noticed is that there is a personality type that likes Juno, okay? Do you know what personality that is? That was a terrible joke. I'm sorry. Okay. Anyways, the personality typically tends to be those that actually did go through teen pregnancy, those that did have that controversy, that did, but did still have that supportive parent to help them through. Okay. The second personality type, and actually it's not really a personality, men. I've noticed that men like Juno more so than women. I noticed that men like Knocked Up and Due Date more than women. Okay, because there's a lot of like rom-coms out there that are closely correlated to pregnancy. And I've noticed that men tend to be the ones that like that sort of shit. It's almost like a romantic comedy designed for men. And women don't necessarily jive with that unless they've been there, done that, got the t-shirt for it. I didn't do teen pregnancy. And if I did have a teen pregnancy, my parents would not be okay with that. I am Latino. I would be dead. Okay? I would make it to the gestation period. They would take the baby and raise it right. I would be dead. So, there's that.
Yeah.
Chris, did you like Juno?
Well, I never saw Juno. I never really wanted to. Didn't really have an interest in it.
I'm jealous. I wish I didn't. But I was trying to please a friend. And so I did it anyway. I watched Juno. Oh, yeah, give it a fucking break, okay? This movie is wonderful. How can you say that you don't like it when you, like, ain't even seen it? And I know that sounded really obnoxious because in the moment, that's exactly how it sounded to me. I'm like, oh, my fucking God, I will do anything to get you to stop. I'll watch the fucking movie. I'll do it. And I watched the fucking movie, and I'm not going to lie, there were certain points that did make me laugh. And there were certain points that did make me go, aw. Okay, but I'm the type of moviegoer, like when I watch a movie, I don't go based on the emotions that I got, I'm like, yes, I take that into consideration, but I look at the entire picture as a whole. And if you did not meet the criteria, like enough criteria for me to go, yeah, I like that movie, then no. Like, my personal favorite rom-com movie is Just Go With It. I fucking love that movie. That movie fucking brings me life, okay?
Which one?
The fact that they Just Go With It with Adam Sandler and Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah, no, I haven't seen that one either.
I fucking love that movie, okay? And it's for multiple different reasons. Somebody mentioned A Walk to Remember. And, you know, and I was looking at that, and I remember, like, I posted a walk, because I posted A Walk to Remember on our group chat when we were discussing this. And I was like, wait, hold on a second. I'm like, let me think about this. Okay, because A Walk to Remember, I wouldn't really say that it's, like, comedic. It's just a romance movie. And it's
I've actually never seen that one either. You know, I think it's showing our age difference, because a lot of the movies you're talking about, you know, are ones that came out when I was older and wasn't as into it as I used to be. And so, I don't know. I just, like, Walk to Remember, I never, isn't that the one where she dies at the end?
Yes, basically, A Walk to Remember, okay, and this is not a spoiler. I don't want to get no bullshit on my DMs.
Oh, it's been out forever.
Okay.
If you haven't seen it, now
that
who cares?
By the way, I was fucking 13 when this came out, so, like, you can eat my farts, okay, because I don't want to hear it. Okay, but A Walk to Remember is based on Nicholas Sparks book. Okay, they turned around and made the movie about it with like a really hot dude. And I fucking forget his name. He was also on Nikita, the television series, and then Mandy Moore. So anyway, so basically what it is that this dude is a really, like, he's a hot-headed bad boy. He's hanging out with the wrong crowd, okay? And he's all into it. He's all, like, breaking the law, driving fast cars, you know, bad boy bullshit, okay? The one that your parents don't want you to be with, okay? And then you have the super Christian, you know, very meek, quiet, plain Jane girl. Okay, that everybody, like, either doesn't notice, or if they do notice her, they're like, fuck you. We don't like you. Okay, so basically
What did I miss? I apparently had technical difficulties on my end. Wow, and I hear that you were just holding court, Iggy. What did I miss? What did you do?
What did you do?
How did you take things over?
I have
nothing.
No,
let her talk. Let her finish. She's talking about
Walk to Remember.
Let that man come in and interrupt.
Oh, gee. I'm just the host. I had a little technical difficulties. Oh, gee. Yeah, no, don't worry about me. I'll be in the corner here. Okay, not doing anything. Geesh.
Where any
fine.
Good husband belongs. Go.
Oh, no.
Ow!
I was.
Wow. We're going to talk about this later, young lady.
Really?
Come on. Iggy was going on. You had to come in and interrupt. You could have sat there quiet until she finished.
Eddie, the minute that this woman purses her lips and squeezes her boobies, you're going to be done. So please.
Okay.
Please.
Anyway, finish
okay?
your
You are powerless
okay.
to Trish. Okay. You are powerless. Anyway, so I was talking about Walk to Remember. I was like, oh, hey, you know, this is based on a Nicholas Sparks novel that was turned into a movie, and you know, you got
vomit.
The bad boy, yes, okay, but at the same time, it's like, oh my god, because I was a teenager when I read the book and saw the movie, and I was like, oh my god, this is what I want in my life. I want to have cancer and die. What is wrong with you? Why would you do that? Why would you say that? What the fuck? No, you don't want to have cancer and die, okay? But this movie makes you feel like maybe you need to have that in order for some dude to love you, and that's what I hate about it. but anyways, you have the bad boy, and you have the super Christian girl, okay? And somehow or another, the two end up crossing paths, okay? And so she is like, that's not fucking okay. It's not about being Christian or about the rigidity of bullshit. It's about the fact that that's not fucking okay to do. You can't be doing shit like that, and I don't like that. I'm not going to force you to change, but that doesn't mean that I have to be around you, which is a respectable point. Okay, and then you have the bad boy who's like, yeah, well, fuck you if you don't want to be with me. Fuck you. So then when he's alone, he's thinking that he just affected her. She's going to come running back to me. She doesn't. She doesn't come running back to him. Okay, so he starts just thinking, like, okay, well, this is the first time this ever happened. Why isn't she running back to me? Okay, let me think of what she said. She said that this isn't right to do. It's not about being Christian. So maybe what I did do was fucked up. Maybe I need to change that. And so he starts changing it, okay? But that's what I'm saying. Like, this doesn't fall into a romantic comedy at all. Like, at all. It's just romantic.
Hmm.
Like, real shit. You know, so it's, you know, so I'm like, cause I'm sitting here, like, thinking back on the movie, because I have, like, suggesting, like, oh my God, A Walk to Remember, that movie was fucking delicious. It hit my soul. And I'm like, yeah, cool, but it's not a romantic comedy, though. It's not.
No, it's just romance.
Yeah.
It's just a romance.
Well,
it's not even.
It's
well,
just,
just like,
yeah, that's just,
you know,
purely what it is.
Well, you know what? And actually, I'll you know what? Let me drop this one in, and it would actually make a great segue into you know, if we're going to talk romantic comedies. But the movie Shakespeare in Love, would you call it a romantic comedy?
No.
Okay. What category would you slot it in?
Romantic bullshit.
Ouch. Ouch.
No,
I'm sorry. I saw that movie once. I don't ever care to watch it again. Because, first off, I can't stand Gwyneth Paltrow. She's a stupid fucking cunt.
Oh,
who
fuck,
should,
yes.
You know, go drown in her goop, you know. And
okay.
So
she's a walking
putting
thing in Hollywood, okay?
Yeah, exactly. So I
she
can't watch
moment,
stuff with her anymore.
And she's done.
I seriously
she's
hope
done.
She gets killed. I hope she gets killed off in Avengers, and I'm not going to be one bit sad if she does.
Okay.
Yeah, I hope
well,
all those
I mean,
solemn looks by Robert
okay.
Downey Jr. in the trailers, I hope it's her, him standing over her body. So,
okay, but at
yeah,
the same time, they gave Gwyneth Paltrow the perfect role in Avengers as Pepper. Okay, because honestly, if she had a more fucking, like, imagine if she was Black Widow, like, kill her! Kill her
ugh.
Right now!
Oh,
dead!
No.
Goodbye!
No.
Okay,
yeah,
but
no,
she's
I'm
Pepper.
Glad,
she's
I'm,
perfect
I'm glad they
Pepper,
gave, yeah.
And she's not, she has not been, like, too much in our face, okay?
Yep.
But the few times that I've had to watch her on the screen, I can't help but to fucking think of all the shit outside of her as an actress. I can't help
right,
it.
Yeah.
She's a bitch.
But see, that's an interesting point that I think, you know, something that's one of those things you always have to think about as far as movies are concerned, which is, yeah, you have these, you know, you do have something where what happens in real life affects, you know, how does it affect your judgment? Like, I happen to like Shakespeare in Love. I think it's, you know, I think it's a cute little movie. Of course, here's the thing. You know, I'm Mr., you know, stuck-up English major, and I happen to like Shakespeare, so I love all the, you know, I love the time period, and I love the allusions to Shakespeare's works and things like that. But it is interesting to note that, yeah, because Gwyneth Paltrow has, well, quite frankly, and I think the opinion of everybody here, gone off the deep end, it affects the ability to watch and enjoy it, because, you know, you can't help but, I mean, yeah, it's a younger Gwyneth Paltrow, but you can't help to think, oh, you know, it's the Goop Girl. It's the Goop Girl banging the guy who created the dystopian future in Handmaid's Tale. But hey,
yeah, no,
it does
I mean,
have
if
Ben.
I
was, a- yeah, it
but,
does have
well,
Ben Affleck though. So.
Let's talk about a romantic comedy to actually like. I'm tired of hating on everything.
Okay.
Let's
well,
talk about Love
well,
Actually.
I do. Well, you know, well, no, but I do. Before we get on to Love Actually, I mean, I do want to bring up, you know, using Shakespeare in Love. I do want to bring up the fact that The Bard, you know, Shakespeare's work, you know, a lot of his, you know, his romantic comedies have been shown on screen even like multiple times. You know, for me, I think my favorite has to be Much Ado About Nothing. And as far as like which version, I got to go with the one done by Kenneth Branagh, you know, where it's him and Emma Thompson. I know, Trish, I know you haven't seen that. Iggy, have you ever seen that?
What movie?
Much Ado About Nothing.
Much Ado About Nothing. Okay, see, that is not a romantic comedy, but I do love that movie.
Okay, wait, but you've seen... But wait, but which version
okay.
have you seen? Because there's multiple. Because the one I'm talking about has Kenneth Branagh and Emma Thompson as, like, the lead couple. It's also got Denzel Washington. It's got
Michael
Keaton. Yeah. Okay, so that's the one you've seen. Yeah, I'm sorry, but
that's
my favorite.
I fucking love that one.
That's my favorite.
That one, but that,
and hey,
it is kind of like, if I want to describe it, it is like a romantic comedy, but in a very high scale, like, you know, like six-figure income, born with a silver spoon in your mouth type of thing. That's that sort of rom-com. Because it's very classy and very subtle and very cutesy and shit like that. But at the same time, if you actually read the Shakespeare book, they actually did a better job at it, because it's almost kind of dry. Like, to read Shakespeare is like, it takes some concentration. Okay, you have to have a taste for that to be able to read through all of that. And
although,
to see the movie
come out,
what a great job they did is it's.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, and then the best thing is the celebration at the end, you know, when everybody's dancing in the garden. That was all one take. That was all those hundreds of people dancing around. It's one take.
Yeah, I remember reading about that, because at the time when I watched the movie, I didn't know that. And, you know, when I get really passionate about a movie, I'll turn around and, you know, what went into this movie. Like, I want to know all about it. And, you know, to find out that the garden scene was all one take, I'm like, what the fuck?
Oh, yeah. And
it's
I know that I've seen at least two. Like, I know that I know of three versions of Much Ado. Technically four, because I know some friends who did a stage production of it. But I've seen two, and I know of three. There's, of course, the Kenneth Branagh, Emma Thompson version, which, by the way, I love Michael Keaton as Dogberry, the constable, not to mention the unintentional comedy of Keanu Reeves trying to do Shakespeare.
Trying to do Shakespeare is fucking hilarious.
Yeah, no, but I think the other one, and actually Trish
and
I saw that.
Wait, so is John Wick a romantic comedy? I'm being an answer. I'm sorry. Go ahead, keep going.
It's the romance between a man and his dog. It's the tragic romantic tale of a man and his dog. Trish and I actually together saw the Much Ado that was done by Joss Whedon as like a vacation from doing work on Avengers. We actually saw that one together. I don't like it as much. I don't like it as much as I do the Kenneth Branagh, Emma Thompson version. Although I do like, the thing that they have in common, which also has in common with the third, is that there's a poem in a sonnet in Much Ado called Sigh No More. And I know that, the Emma Thompson, Kenneth Branagh one, kind of turns it into this big bombastic, musical number. And then you have this very slow, kind of melodic, almost haunting version that was in Joss Whedon's. I really don't like Joss Whedon's Much Ado that much. Although Nathan Fillion as Dogberry, again, win. I do like their version of Sigh No More. It's actually on my iTunes, and I kind of use it. It's one of those, I have like a few pieces of music that, you know, if I'm exercising or like I'm walking home after work, if I need like a cool down, I pull that out and I listen to it. And that's like the last thing I listen to before, you know, I get home or I stop my workout. The third version is, need. Yeah, I do like a lot of walking. I walk. You know, I do walking. Yeah. Well, I do more. You know, I also I need to get back to the gym, but I've also done stuff like doing weights and crunches. So, you know, but when I go walking, you know, I use that. Sheesh. Not all of us. Not all of us do these like 100-pound. Power things at the gym.
I'm
working
out.
Okay.
I'm sexy yet.
When I get exercise, there you go. Are you happy now?
Okay.
Happy?
All right. I'll stand down. All right.
Anyway, stand down. Stand down. At ease. At ease, Matthews. There you go. but yeah. Anyway, So yeah, I like the other version of Much Ado that I'm aware of, which I still have to see this. I'll have to find Trish. Maybe you can help me find a copy of this. That would be the one that was David Tennant and Catherine Tate.
I have it on my computer.
Oh, my God. Okay. There you go. Yep. It's the two romantic leads are David Tennant and Catherine Tate. Their version of Sign No More is very kind of almost. How would you describe it, Trish? Like, how would you describe the way that they arrange Sign No More? Because I know it's very upbeat,
oh,
up tempo.
Yeah.
Like upbeat, up tempo. You know,
well,
kind of almost
stage production. So.
Right. You know what I kind of equate it to? It's kind of stage musical, kind of almost Grease-like, I would say. You know, like that, for some reason, Grease kind of comes up because it's very kind of, you know, kind of has that poppy sound, but it's really cool. And hey, for the ladies, I did find on YouTube, I found a video of, you know, that version of Sign No More, which is, you know, like it's used, it's the song, but cut, you know, but like on screen, it shows scenes from the production. And hey, you get David Tennant in a Navy uniform with aviator shades.
Oh my.
I took a screen cap of this and I put it on, I think it was the We Heart Heart, Doctor Who group on Facebook. And yeah, a lot of the ladies, I had like ladies and I think even a guy or two were just like, you know, they were hitting likes and I'm thinking to myself, yep. Yep. And you know, that's one of those moments where I'm like, you know what? I'm like 100% hetero, but you know what? Even that, I'm like, yeah, he good looking. I'd hit it. I'd salute the flag. Yep. Yeah.
All
yep.
Right. So
I'd hoist the mainsail to that. I would.
I just asked, I had my phone on mute, and I asked two gentlemen that I had here. I asked them, I was like, hey.
Are they two gentlemen of Verona?
They're two gentlemen of hetero. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that country, but it is a legitimate country. Anyways, I asked them, hey, romantic comedies, go. Okay, and the reason that I did it that way is because I don't want them thinking like things that I like. Just romantic comedies, go. One of them says 16 Candles.
Okay, a classic. Okay, there you go.
Right, throwback,
there.
Right? Right?
All right,
okay,
80s, yeah.
The other one mentioned 27 Dresses. Okay. That
nope.
one, I remember.
Nope. Nope. Moving on. Nope. Moving on. We're in Heigl territory again.
That was great.
We're in Heigl territory again. Yeah. Reverse the ship. Reverse. Helm, turn them out.
He said nope.
Nope. Nope. No, we are not haggling again. Molly Ringwald, 16 Candles. God, what was the other big one?
Pretty and
Breakfast
Club. Breakfast Club.
Breakfast Club.
Breakfast Club.
I fucking hate Breakfast Club. I fucking hate it. Don't you
forget about
Pretty
about
and
Pink.
Pretty
Ryan
and Pink. Yes, that's no. Trish said the one.
Do you know what really sucks about Pretty and Pink? Is that in the original movie, she ends up with Ducky, and they showed it to a test audience, and the test audience heeded that she ended up with Ducky. They said she should have ended up with the cool jock guy, because, you know, this was the fucking 80s when, you know, the girl could end up with the nerd. There's just
no
way.
God.
That's not cool.
Oh, yeah.
So they went back and they refilmed it so that she ended up with the jock guy.
Yeah, see that? Yeah, it's like,
are you
it's like, yeah.
So I have a reason I don't care for that movie that much because when I heard that, it was just like, oh, well, this is bullshit then.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, total BS because it's like,
wow,
oh,
it's having a real office job.
Mm-hmm.
Sexual harassment and everything.
Yep.
Oh, geez.
So,
but, yeah.
But
yeah, no,
me,
I.
Can I talk about my favorite romantic
oh,
comedy?
Oh God, yes. Let's get away from the Heigl zone and let's get away from the jock winning the girl in the end. Please. Yeah, let's get away from that.
Now that I think about it, I'm not even sure if it really would be considered a comedy. I guess it is more of a romance, I guess, but there's some funny moments in it. And it's a movie called The Mirror Has Two Faces. It has Barbara Streisand and Jeff Bridges in it.
Oh,
yeah. And
yeah, beautiful music, by the way.
Yes. But have you ever seen that?
Beautiful music?
No.
Yeah.
The Mirror Has Two Faces.
Oh, no, I have not.
I'm saying that movie has beautiful music. But then again, it's got Barbara. You know, that's
okay,
a given.
Listen, I thought that was the name of the movie because movies are named really weird shit these days, like fucking children in 2018. So I'm just, I was confused. There are children out there named Cloud and North.
Yeah. Yep.
And Blanket.
Yep, that's okay. Because, you know, Iggy, I can understand where you're coming from. My personal peeve is like, when companies buy stadiums and then name it after themselves, you know, you're here live at the Energizer Stadium. You know, to me, it's like not to get off topic, but you know, to me, I always thought if I win the lotto or like I just get filthy rich, I want to buy a stadium and I want to rename it fill in the blank so that way every time there's an event there, somebody has to with a straight face say, "We're coming to you live from fill-in-the-blank stadium," and I can just sit there and go, "You fucking eat that! Eat it, okay?
That's
you're going to love it!" Anyway, on that note, please, more Barbara, Trish, before I completely lose my mind. What's left of it?
The movie's about Barbara Streisand. She's an older woman. She's a professor at a university, and she has yet to find, you know, someone to love, and there's this other professor that works there who she doesn't know, and he's just had one train wreck after another because he only dates women that he's, like, really, like, super, super attracted to, like, and all he can think about when he's with them is sex. That's all he wants us to do is have sex.
Typical dude.
Yep. And so he decides after his last relationship, you know, goes the same way all the other ones do, he decides that he wants to find someone that he has stuff in common with because he's like a really super smart math professor, you know, and has PhD and all that stuff. So someone tells him to take out an ad. So, you know, this is back in the 90s, you know, so before social media. So he puts an ad out basically saying that he's looking for someone that, you know, has shared interests that he wants them to be over the age of 35 and to have a PhD. And he also wrote on there, you know, physical appearance does not matter. Well, Barbara Streisand, her character, she doesn't really think that she's a very good looking person. And she's got a sister who's like extremely beautiful and all this stuff. Her sister actually, in the beginning of the movie, marries the guy that Barbara originally was seeing. And then, yeah. And then her sister basically steals him and marries him. But, yeah. So her sister answers the ad for her and doesn't tell her that she did that. And so Barbara goes on the guy asks her out, and she goes with him thinking that he's interested in her, you know, just like any other man. But he tells her that he's looking for a relationship that's just based on mutual respect, that he's not interested in a sexual relationship. He wants to be companions. And it's like, and of course with Barbara, you know, she's just like, she's thinking, I'm getting older. This might be my last chance. So she says, okay, fine, I'll marry you. And so they have this like sexless marriage where they're just, you know, basically companions and stuff, but she's totally in love with him. And, you know, he starts to fall in love with her, and it's just a whole bunch of stuff back and forth. And of course, in the end, they end up being together like they should. But I just really identified with it because of Barbara's character, you know, someone that doesn't think that they're, you know, good enough for other people, you know, and then she comes to realize that she is, you know, and
I don't know. It just has more to it than just your typical romantic comedy. It's
I'll give it credit for the fact that, you know, you have the two leads are these older, you know, these two older people instead of, like, you know, young hotness gets together.
Jeff Bridges is fucking hot in this movie too.
Oh yeah.
Well, Jeff Bridges can be hot when he wants to be. Very classy and very like, oh my god.
Although
he's
very
hot.
Hell, it would be cool to even hang out with him as the dude.
I'm the dude, so that's what you call me.
But Eddie, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Is Deadpool a romantic comedy?
Oh my god.
Oh crap! Wow. Okay. Right now, I have all I know is
him going after his,
see,
you know, trying to save his
yep.
love of his life
yep.
from some from an evil bastard, you know.
Yeah, you know what? Well, first of all, this is one of those questions that if it's given to a guy, depending on the woman, in the guy's head, Admiral Akbar will show up and go, "It's a trap." Okay, what I'm going to say is it depends on the couple. If it is a couple of geeks, then yeah, you could consider a romantic comedy. However, if one half of the duo is not that geeky, they may not find it as much of a romantic comedy as one would think. There, how's that?
All right, hold on a second. Let me ask something, right? Okay, Sean, Deadpool movie, romantic comedy?
No.
No. Hold on.
Ooh.
I got. There's other men in here. All right.
Okay.
Hold on. Tyler, what? Deadpool, a romantic comedy?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Okay. All right.
There you go.
All right.
Billy, Deadpool, romantic comedy. Billy,
I can find another man.
Billy says yes.
No, hold
okay,
on. I can
right.
find another man. Let me find one more. I'm coming. There's another man. Eric,
depending,
she's man-hunting.
Oh, man.
Cool.
You know, depending on
a
the circumstances, the phrase... Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes? Okay. That's three yeses and a no.
Wow. Okay. All right. But Iggy, what do you think? Deadpool, romantic comedy, or no?
Fuck yes.
Okay, all right. Because, see, that's the important... Okay, I think the big thing is that how much of a cross-gender consensus do we have here?
I don't know. Trish, Deadpool, romantic comedy?
Yes.
Yes!
Okay, and you know what? I'm going to say yes. I would say yes, you probably could consider it a romantic comedy.
Yes. Deadpool, a romantic comedy or no?
I say yes.
Okay.
Wait,
yeah.
who was
Deadpool, a romantic comedy or not? Absolutely.
Oh, jeez.
Deadpool, is it a romantic comedy or not? In a way, yes. In a way, no!
In a way, okay. You know, we'll count that as a yes. No, that's a yes. That's a yes. That's a yes.
Yes.
And the
shit
he goes through to save his
motherfucking
girl.
There you go.
Okay.
That would be like Spider-Man's not. And the first bit of the damn movie is
another hype.
Oh boy. Okay. So what? Okay. Is there any other movie that you want to talk about, Trish? That you want to ask whether we find it to be a romantic comedy or not?
No, but I mean, we do want to talk about Love Actually, but we already know that's a romantic comedy.
Oh yeah. No. Yeah. No. Definitely. No. Definitely. Definitely romantic. Romantic comedy. Not to mention the fact that it's. I mean, hell. Basically, if you have anything that deals with romance and Hugh Grant is in it, it's like romantic comedy. Boom. We're done. It's like all you gotta do is just not to mention it's not only is it romantic comedy, but it's British romantic comedy. So we kinda get back into the Shakespeare thing because it's gonna be, you know, it can be witty, but it's also kind of a dry wit. You know, it's not it's not like
that Mother's Day, New Year's Day, and Valentine's Day movies can all kiss my ass. Fuck those movies.
Thank you. Yes. You know what? No, I have
Love
to
Actually
I have to agree.
The only good one.
They tried to recreate it with the other two, and they were just awful.
Well, see, part of it, okay,
Wait, which one?
What? Love Actually was good, but then Valentine's Day and the New Year's Eve one both suck.
Oh God! Mm-hmm. Well, no, and didn't New Year's Eve have a subplot with like Robert De Niro in like a rest home and you know he wants to I think there was something where it's like Robert De Niro in a rest home and you know he's like if he's not terminal he's just very ill and you know he bonds with Halle Berry the nurse. It was just one of those. I'm just like. Shoot me. That sounds stupid. That sounds gloriously stupid. And it sounds like emotional manipulation. It's like, we're doing this subplot to make you cry. You know, this is the only reason we're doing it. And I'm just like, you know what? Fuck you. No, sorry. I can tell that's patently stupid.
Exactly.
Although, you know, something I do want to bring up, though, and once again, which ties into a little bit into the British thing, there was a reason that I named this episode The Meet Cute. And that was because of another film, which I think we could call it a romantic comedy. And this is one of your favorites, Trish, The Holiday.
Oh yeah. I love that movie.
You know,
with Jack Black?
Yep, Jack Black, Jude Law.
Jude Law looking the cutest he ever has.
Cameron Diaz
and Kate Winslet. And then also, I forget who played the old guy, but I know he passed away, relatively recently. But yeah, just that one. And see, that's the thing, because correct me if I'm wrong, you know, but I think we can say that as far as getting like the cuteness down in a romantic comedy, you got to give it to the Brits. You know, you got to get, if it's a romantic comedy and it is done by like a British director, a British writer, and has like a British cast, it's like, okay, we're good. This is probably going to be really good, because I don't know. It's just something about the way that it just gets put together is just, it's adorable. You know, it's adorable. It's like the cute puppy of films, you know, and especially of like, you know, of comedy. You know, if it's the Brits doing a romantic comedy, it's like, you're like, oh my God, that is so adorable. I mean, am I wrong? Trish, am I wrong?
No, you're not.
You're not.
Okay, Iggy, am I wrong?
You're not.
I'm not. See, there you go. See, there you go. Like, I'm sorry. Like, hey, to any, you know, although I gotta give props to Rob Reiner. Okay, because we had, you know, he is one of the few Americanos that did do cute romantic comedy, of course, with When Harry Met Sally. Was he all? Did he also direct Sleepless in Seattle,
Bride.
Or was that some what?
And Princess Bride.
Princess Bride. There you go. Oh, Princess Bride. Oh man, there you go. Not all. You get romance, and then you got.
As you wish.
As you wish. Come on. I think there's
did
an entire generation. Yeah. There's an entire generation that. Yeah.
I don't think he directed you.
You don't think he directed what? You didn't direct.
You've got mail.
No, but did he do what? Did he direct Sleepless in Seattle, or he was just co-starring in it?
Let me
like,
check.
Kind
of driving me nuts.
Yeah, because
no,
I know
it
he's
was directed,
in it.
It was directed by Nora Ephron.
Oh, okay, yeah, that was Nora Ephron, but he's in it. But he's in
and
it
I
as.
I think she also directed You've Got Mail, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, although definitely not as cute as Sleepless in Seattle.
Both directed. I like both of them.
Yeah,
I don't hate
Sleepless in Seattle, but you know, if you like tied me to a chair and had like both movie and had like the master copies of both movies on a table, and you were holding a hammer, and you said one of these is obliterated. You know, I would have to just say, you know, no, save Sleepless. I mean, again, it's not that I hate You Got Mail, but I like Sleepless in Seattle a lot better. Especially because, hey, you know, you have, especially because, you know, I'm sorry, but it is probably one of the few times that you have the token child, and he's adorable. You know, it's one of the few times that you're not like, oh, fuck, the kid's on screen. All right, that's it. Wow, okay. Let us know when the kid's not on screen, please. Because, yeah, I can't. I mean, you know, I just, because, yeah, I'm...
Yeah.
Ugh, because sometimes, and I think Love Actually is the other one. Love Actually is the other one because Thomas Sangster as Sam, you know, he is also one that's like genuinely adorable, and you're not like, oh fuck, we're back to the kids subplot. Okay, all right, yeah. Let me know when the movie gets back to Hugh Grant, you know, dancing to the Pointer Sisters. In the offices of the Prime Minister, because Iggy, is there another example you could think of a romantic comedy that has the child component and the child is actually adorable, like not annoying as fuck?
I kind of have to think about this for a minute because one's coming to mind. I can't think of the fucking name.
Okay.
And when it hits me, I'm going to blurt it out at 2:00
you know
in
what?
The fucking morning.
If you need to, so you do have a movie in your head that is not Love Actually and Sleepless in Seattle that does have a cute child, not an annoying as fuck one. You just can't. Mm-hmm. Okay. Is it Americano or British?
Americano.
Okay, it's Americano. Is it recent or is it kind of a little further back?
I remembered. Sandra Bullock and her fucking kid with fucking John Connerick. Or wait, it's Connerick. He's a fucking country singer. Samantha, help me. Hope Floats.
Oh, Harry Connick Jr.? Harry Connick Jr.
Son of a bitch. Yes.
Oh, okay, so that...
It's got Birdie in there. Birdie.
Okay, because I haven't seen that. Have you seen it, Trish?
I think I saw it once a long time ago, but I don't remember.
Long time ago. Hope Floats. The other one is...
But apparently,
Michael.
Okay... Michael.
Mm-hmm. With John Travolta. And then the other one is Phenomenon with John Travolta.
Okay, I hate that movie.
That's not a romantic comedy at all.
That's not a romantic comedy. Yeah. Yeah. There are only two things I like about the movie Phenomena. Number one, the fact that you have a bit part played by Brent Spiner, a.k.a. Data from Star Trek The Next Generation. And number two, I think the song by Eric Clapton, Change the World, is an awesome song. But that's it. That's the only thing I like about Phenomena. The rest of it can, like, kiss my ass. Like, seriously. I'm just like, you know what? Done. No. Sorry. No. 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 No, John. No, John Travolta. I am not going to fall for your Scientology recruitment bullshit. Okay.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
But yeah, I wouldn't call that a romantic
comedy. We can't forget about When Harry Met Sally.
Oh God, yeah, no. Oh yeah, When Harry Met Sally. If we're gonna do the pantheon, the Greek pantheon of romantic comedy, that is, if it's not Zeus, it's like one of Zeus's brothers. It's like either Poseidon or Hades. Okay,
mm-hmm.
I think like the other, you know, if we're doing like the trinity of this pantheon, I would say When Harry Met Sally, Love Actually,
Four Weddings and a Funeral.
Four Weddings is up there.
What about You've Got Mail?
You know what? Okay, it's part of the pantheon, but it's like one of it's
you
like
know what?
It's like the it's the
prefer,
stepchild of one. It, I think it's
I prefer the original version of You've Got Mail. I prefer the original version of the movie called The Shop Around the Corner, which came out in the '40s with Jimmy Stewart.
Okay,
that's
see there
one,
you
that
go.
That's way better. It's the same concept, but way better.
Just but I definitely think I would definitely say that You Got Mail, if we're gonna put it in the pantheon here, it would be like the stepson of one of the gods. It would be like this would be like the child because the god went down to Earth, saw a woman, and was like, "Hey, honey. Hey, honey, you want to do a one-night stand with a god? Hey, look at me. Look at me. I showed up as a rainbow. Uh-huh. You want to fuck a rainbow? Come on, honey.
Oh my God.
Come on. Oh, look. Oh, look. I gave you a little demigod, baby. See, yeah. Yeah, because that's what happens when you fuck a rainbow that's actually a god. Uh-huh.
I'm so glad
Eddie.
This is going to be recorded. Oh, my God.
Eddie,
hey,
honey. Don't forget one of your favorites. Some Like It Hot.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think you could call it a romantic comedy. I don't because I think I focus more on just the back
like
and
it
forth.
Hot.
Have you ever seen that, Iggy? Have you ever seen Some Like It Hot, Iggy?
Yes, I have.
Tony Curtis and Jack Lemmon. Yeah. That's. And by the way, I heard that. In that movie, Marilyn Monroe reads from cue cards a lot. Like, supposedly, if you look at her in some scenes and you look at her eyes, you could tell she's reading off a cue card.
Really?
And of course, yeah. And I'm sure I can speak for everybody here. That movie has to have one of the funniest endings in cinema
history.
Oh, yeah. Come on. And you know what? And if anybody disagrees with me, fight me right now. Okay? Fight me right now. If you're not in Reno, get your ass on a plane and come over here. Okay? Because, yeah, that is one of the funniest movie endings in history. If you disagree, come on. Take me on. Come on. I'm ready.
I'm
ready,
I'm
and I'm
going to
show
cook.
You how fucking wrong you are.
I'm a horrible cook.
It's okay.
We'll go out.
Yeah. It's like, I haven't been faithful. I forgive you.
I can't have children. We'll adopt.
Adopt, yeah. Okay, fine, I'm a man! That
I'm never
perfect.
Oh, my God. Wow, guys.
It's
not obvious at all that you guys are married and have seen all the same shit.
Oh yeah. Well, I think one movie I'm thinking of, I don't think you could really call it a romantic comedy, but... Still, I find it funny. Trish is not that big of a fan, but I am a big fan of the movie Raising Arizona.
No, that movie's bullshit. That movie's fucking bullshit.
I love that movie, and I'm sorry, but I think Holly Hunter and Nicolas Cage are great together. And I'm sorry, but you should, if anything, Iggy, we need to all meet and have like we need to have this big thing where it's, you come visit us again. But I need to have like my dad with us here because you could just watch the two of us just recite the movie back and forth, you know, especially just Holly Hunter and Nick Cage together. Ha, I want a baby, ha. Huh? Need to go get that baby, ha. Huh? Oh, but it, honey.
All right, that already sounds obnoxious. No, I'll pass.
Another
one of my favorites is Kate and Leopold. That was the movie that introduced me to Hugh Jackman.
Yep.
That's the movie that introduced me to Hugh Jackman, and to me, that's the hottest he's ever been, and the hottest he'll ever be.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh well. Okay. So you don't like the Wolverine thing where he's got like the scruff
really.
And he's wearing the dirty shirt?
No.
Nope.
No.
You're
not.
Really. No.
Okay. It's not. Okay. So no rugged Hugh Jackman. Instead, nice cleaned up, very cultured Hugh Jackman.
Oh hell
okay.
Yes.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about? Okay, here. All right. I'm gonna throw a wrench into this. P.T. Barnum, Hugh Jackman.
I haven't seen the movies, and I don't give a shit. So no.
Oh, okay. All right. Ouch. Okay.
Same boat.
Right, there you go.
P.T. Barnum was a fucking asshole.
Okay.
P.T. Barnum was a fucking asshole. I don't ever care to see that movie. So there.
Sorry. Okay. Wow. Okay. Yeah.
Kablam!
No. Yep. There you go.
Don't ask for my opinion. It's not going to be any better.
There you go. Okay. Okay, so, all right. So, Iggy, one more rom-com to throw into the mix.
Okay. What is it? Actually, I'm going to go really nerdy with this one.
Okay.
The originally, Han Solo and Leia. It's Star Wars, and I forget which particular one it is, but it's the one where, what is it? I Love You, I Know.
Oh, Empire?
Oh, Empire Strikes Back.
Empire Strikes Back. Yes,
yep.
That one.
Oh, yeah. Well,
that one was a
okay.
straight-up rom-com. And then they have to throw in the action to be like, hey, it's still Star Wars, though. You remember that?
Okay, all right, okay. I think that's a great assessment, Trish. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I agree. Their story
is
totally a rom-com.
Yeah, well,
mm-hmm.
it is. I think
it's,
okay.
it's a rom-com within a sci-fi movie.
Yep.
Yes.
Well, especially because there was that, well, did it start out, okay, correct me if I'm wrong, but did it start off as a meme where somebody noticed that as Leia and Han are arguing, the people just passing by like it's no thing?
Yeah, like, oh, wow, they did it. Here they go again.
Yep. You got a, Lieutenant something or other with another, with another X-Wing pilot. It's like, so yeah, how many credits did you put down that they'd be fighting again? It's like, I put down 5. Here you go. How long till the next fight, you think? Oh, give it a day. I'm going to say exactly a day. Nah, give it 5 hours. Okay, there you go. Okay, you're on. Okay, one more rom-com bit, Trish.
Splash.
Yes. Yes, there you go. Another classic, not to mention that I think there's...
I was obsessed with that as a little girl.
Because not only is it a romantic comedy, there's a freaking mermaid in it, you know?
Yep.
As a little girl, that was just the epitome of a wonderful movie. You know, if you can imagine yourself being a freaking mermaid and all that stuff. Yeah, no.
Yeah, well, just definitely. And, of course, Daryl Hannah. And I just find it weird that, like, I think that was, like, Daryl Hannah, like, before that she did Blade Runner where she was, like, psycho. And then you have her in Splash and everybody's like, oh, man, Daryl Hannah's hot. I love her. I want her to be my mermaid. And it's like, wow, okay, so you just totally forgot about Pris. All right, that's fine. That's fine. Although, got to admit, between Mermaid Daryl Hannah and Daryl Hannah's Pris in Blade Runner, I think I'd prefer the Mermaid Daryl Hannah because then I don't have to worry about getting murdered in my sleep.
Real quick, if you want to talk about another romantic comedy involving Tom Hanks, I would have to say The Money Pit definitely fits into that. And then you got Father of the Bride.
The Money Pit. I haven't seen The Money Pit. Thing that I remember from The Money Pit is the painter, the guy, the really effeminate painter guy, just going to one of the guys like doing the walls, and he goes, no, don't tickle, pant, not tickling, pant, you pant, like that's been stuck in my head.
No,
that's been like an earworm.
The best scene in The Money Pit is when Tom Hanks is in the kitchen, and then the electrical problems, the turkey. Explodes the fuck out of the oven, through the window, across the house, into another window, falls into the fucking bathroom where the wife is trying to take a bath, okay, and Tom Hanks shows up all smoked out. He's like, I'm fucking done with the day, pretty much, okay, and she's like, okay, cool. They throw the hot water into the tub falls through the floor, crashes into the bottom floor, and Tom Hanks has this psychotic, breakdown, mental breakdown laugh.
Yeah.
Okay,
yep.
That's the best scene in the movie. I legitimately have that saved in my phone for a bad day.
Wow, okay, that is, yeah. Well, you know what, I think that, honestly, wow, I don't know, just this whole, I think, conversation, this whole episode, it's... if anything, we've learned love is diverse, and definitely,
so.
Brits do the best romantic comedies. And yeah, Katherine Heigl, I'm sorry, Katherine, if you're listening, but yeah, just no more romantic comedies, okay? I know you need you're an actress, you need the work, that's fine, but stay away from the romance stuff, okay? Just don't do it, all right? Do us all a favor, don't do it, okay? Yeah, thank you, yeah, just
guess
do us
what?
All a favor.
She's too old to do it anymore, so yes.
Ooh, okay. Well, no. Wait. Hold on. Well, I don't know. I mean, I keep thinking that maybe, like, you know, somebody will try to put her in the role of, like, you know, kind of try and pull a Mirror Has Two Faces and be like, let me do a romantic comedy for the older set. And it's like, oh, and I'll get Katherine Heigl. It's like, don't, no.
No one would watch.
No.
Mm-hmm. Everyone that would watch
exactly.
a movie with older yep. with an older female character hates her. So no.
Yeah. Yep. Yep, like get somebody else.
Hell
get somebody
no.
else.
To
yeah.
the no,
hell
no, no.
No. Hell nah. But you know what? To get away, okay, to step away from romantic comedies, okay, because you know what? I think it's time for us to do a little self love and plug what's coming up on the show. Because let's see. Hey, Trish, what is next Friday?
Avengers.
Yep.
Woo!
Next Friday. Next Friday is April 27th, and Avengers Infinity War comes out. And you know what? We are going to we here at Keeping It Reels, we're going to be nice. Okay, we're going to show some love to you, our listeners, because we're going to do this is another one where we're going to wait a couple of weeks. Okay. We're going to wait a couple of weeks to do our review so that way you, the listeners, okay, get a chance to see the movie because I know, there are those of us geeks that it's opening day or bust, okay? And, hey, we're going to be seeing it opening day. We already got our tickets. We got our group together. I have an Infinity Gauntlet toy that I'm actually going to have wrapped around my hand. Trish, I think you bought
Hulk
some.
Fist.
Yep, we got Hulk. She got Hulk fists at Toys R Us today, so you know I got my very own cute little She-Hulk here as my date for Avengers: Infinity War. So yeah, we are going to see it opening night, but you know what? We're going to wait a couple of weeks, okay, to do a review, so that way you get a chance to catch up, okay? Because we want everybody to be listening to the review and going, yeah, that was an awesome scene, or you know, or man, that sucked. That could have been so much better. The comics were just so much more awesome. How dare you, Russo brothers? Or, you know,
mm-hmm.
Just go along with us going, man, I did not see that coming. And, you know, and hopefully we'll be like, wow, that's why they kept Hawkeye secret instead of they kept Hawkeye secret because of that. Fuck you, Marvel. Yeah. So,
uh-huh.
You know, we're going to be doing that a couple of weeks out. OK, but for the 28th, though, for those of you who have not seen it yet and kind of want a little preparation. OK, next Saturday, it's going to be the Road to Infinity War. Okay, we're going to cover the MCU and how it leads into the movie. And I promise, okay, I'm making my promise right now. You can see this because this is radio, okay, but I'm holding my hand in like the whole, you know, swearing in type thing. And I'm making a promise right now, even though I will have seen the movie, next week's episode, I will not spoil anything, okay? Everything will be to get everybody who hasn't seen it yet caught up. And if you, like me, you saw the movie, but you still want to listen and be like, you know, oh, yeah, definitely, you know, you can do that too, okay? I'm just saying that we at Keeping It Reels are going to be nice, and, you know, we're not going to, like, the very next day be jumping on and going, this movie was so awesome, and holy cow, and this happened, and this happened, and you haven't seen it yet? Well, tough shit, we're talking about it now! Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's, you know, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. When we will have the review, we'll let you know the exact date, okay? But trust me, you know, but for now, don't worry about it. Next week, we are going to have some cool Marvel goodness, but it's not going to spoil the movie. Okay? You have the Eduardo M. Fryer of Keeping It Real's promise. Okay? Seal of approval. So, yeah. On that particular note, this is Eduardo M. Fryer. And, of course, my wonderful co-host for this lively conversation, my wonderful wife.
Patricia Fryer.
And, of course, as always, the ever energetic, and I'm sure she's still pickled.
Thank you, Matthews.
And are you still pickled?
Quite possibly. I can either confirm or deny that.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Wow. You know what? Okay. Wow. Okay. You know what? We have somebody who's been before a court of law, ladies and gentlemen, because wow, that's okay. Would you be willing to submit to a breathalyzer?
Hell no.
Okay. You know what? You know, without answering the first question, you know, without answering that question, you have, yeah, I think we've got our answer here, Trish. What do you think?
Oh, yeah.
I would say we got an answer. Yep, we got an
definitely
answer.
Definitely.
Yep.
Spicy pickle.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
Spicy pickle. Ooh.
Spicy pickle. Oh, jeez. And with that, we are out. We are no longer
okay
on air.
Eddie, we need to go.
Yep. Okay. So
okay,
yeah,
bye.
Iggy, I gotta go. We gotta go because we got to plan some stuff for tomorrow. But yeah, I will be talking to you like later on in May because I may need you on deck to do an episode or two of Keeping It Reels. Okay.
Okay.
All right. But
no problem.
I will. Yeah, I'll talk to you about that later. Okay. All right, Trish, I'll be down
bye
in a couple of minutes. I'm just gonna run and grab my stuff from the bedroom.
Okay. All right. Hurry.
All right.
Bye. All right. Bye.